You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to the Chatter's Box. My name is Kyle McClellan, your host, and I have a former teammate of mine and current St. Louis Cardinal, Lance Lynn, with us today. Lance, thanks for stepping into the Chatter's Box, joining us for this month's episode.
Oh, no, thanks for having me. You know, this is, you know how it is. It's an exciting time to be back. I'm looking forward to it.
You are still playing for the Cardinals. I am not. I don't know if you noticed, I have a pretty cool logo and we have a podcast, but we played together in 2011, 2012, and then that was my last year here, and you are still going. You're still out there doing it. I just want to talk to you about the difference between your first stretch here when you were here for, you know, a handful of years, been gone for a little while, and then you come back. What's different about Lance Lynn?
We got a lot more grace, that's for sure. All in all, man, it's crazy. I mean, as the game of life, of the game of baseball goes in life, you go through a lot of different things. Last time I was here, I was young, I was dumb. I got 4 kids now. Got different head on my shoulders. It's a weird way. Baseball's got a weird sense of humor. Going back to where it all started. I enjoyed my time here. You know, you look back and you wish you would have done stuff a little differently at times, but you also know that, you know, that's what makes you grow. And I don't know if I'd be here today if I didn't go through the trials that I went through back then and then took them to other places and learned from them. And it made me the teammate I am now. It made me the person I am now. And then, you know, it's just kind of a weird flow.
Yeah. Well, watching you through your career from a distance, being teammates with you, knowing you, you know, pretty well, you know, when you first came up, I'll never forget, we were in Miami in the old stadium and we're sitting there in the bullpen, and you had been up for, I don't know, a month. I mean, and you were doing it. I mean, you were having success. You were, and I just remember it was like me, Mitchell Boggs, Jason Mott, and we were just like talking pitching, and you were like, man, it's not that hard. You know, I just grab it and I just throw it as hard as I can on the middle. And we all look at each other, you know, we're trying to figure this thing out. We look at it, and I think it was me that said, Lance, like, eventually that's not going to work. You know, like, it might work for the, but it's worked for you. I mean, you've evolved a little bit, but you have, and we realized it, you know, quickly. Even then, there's something different about your fastball when you came up and you were just challenging guys at 95, 96, and it was like 106 back then. And now we watch, and you know, time catches up with everybody. Right. And so now all of a sudden it might not be 97, 98 like it used to. It might be 92, 93, yeah, 91. But it still has that effect on it, which has always been amazing to me, watching you, how you've been able to get these best hitters out with some of that. But you've also evolved since then, and it's not just chucking it. And watching you learn and adapt has been a lot of fun, you know, for me. But that process has, you know, for you, what's that been like in learning that, adjusting to that, and then on top of that, all the changes with the game that have gone on since you've been in it. I mean, you've been in the thick of it. You came up when it was just starting to change, and you've rode this wave of all these changes throughout.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, that fastball that had life on it, heavy ball or whatever, now they've got numbers to call it what it is, or they've got some sort of six letter thing that tells you ex woba this that or something.
You don't strike me as the super analytical bought in guy.
You pretty much you figure out why you're good and then where you struggle, and then you figure out how to stay good and then figure out where you're struggling and how to make them better. I think that's the main thing, right? I always knew why I was good, and then I was like, you never lose that, and then bring along the things with it as you need to go. And you know, when we were here, we had a lot of good guys to bounce stuff off of. So I was able to learn a cutter from Karp. I was able to learn a sinker from Loesch when all I threw was four-seam and curveballs when I first came up. And then back then, if you want to start for the Cardinals, you better throw a sinker. Mm-hmm. If you weren't starting, So I had to do that. Did I like it? No. Mm-hmm. But it was like, here's 10 a game just to get you off my back, right? And then now it's a little older you get, you mix it in a little bit more, you mix in the cutter more, and then, heck, now I'm throwing a changeup for the first time in my career at 13, 14 years in. So you're always evolving, you're always trying to get better, but you also can't lose what got you here, and you always got to stay within what makes you good. So I think that's the big thing, right? Everyone asks me, like, you know, you throw all heaters, but it's like, yeah, you go watch the game. They go different directions, and I'll take some speed off of them here and there, and I always change speeds by maybe throwing a little harder when I need to at times. So that's the art of pitching that you can't teach. You got to learn how to do it, and I've been able to have some trial and error over my career, and I've been very lucky with health. I've only had 1 year where I've been hurt, knock on wood, and other than that, you know, I've been able to take the ball. I show up every 5 days, throw my innings and get my strikeouts, do a couple yells, and then go on to the next one.
How hard is that at the time? We talked to Wainwright about this last year. To recognize I got to do things differently, because I have done it one way for 8 years or 9 years or 10 years, and it has worked. And then at some point it gets to where, whether it's the hitters are catching up or you're losing a notch on your fastball, how hard is that to buy in to, I do have to adapt here?
Yeah. I think nowadays it's kind of easier because there's ways that you can see it. I think before you didn't really have all the numbers that we were talking about, right? You're like, hey, I'm struggling with this. This isn't quite what I want it to be anymore. What do I have to complement that I can still get, you know, I can still use it, but I can have something just to sprinkle in to get away with some stuff. I think that's the main thing, and then you're able to kind of develop from there, and it's like, all right, this is going to work. This is where you can throw it, things you can get away with at times just to give yourself a little bit of a break just because you don't have your A stuff that you did earlier in your career. So that's part of the pitching process too. You're always learning new pitches, right? Every year we all come in with six different new grips, and then we all end up back similar to what we started with at the end of, or what we finished with at the end of last year. But that's that tinkering process to make it a little bit better. That's always been the thing that I've done, but I've also kind of stuck to my guns too over the years, and that's why I've been able to keep doing what I'm doing, but it's a little bit different each year.
Something you said there made me think about, I coach both my kids pitch, and when you talk to them about understanding how to manipulate the ball as they start, my son's not there yet, but my daughter's starting to throw curveball, screwballs, and things like that. And it's like, you start at a young age, and if you understand your hand path and where it's at on the ball and how it makes the ball do certain things, then it's easier to transition to other pitches. So when you talk about the tinkering, like, yeah, we always tinker with it because we know how to make it do this, but if we can make it go down a little bit more, or, you know, more lateral, or, you know, make it right, go into righties, whatever that is, it's just your understanding and feel. And you can't do that at a young age because you're still trying to figure out how to walk.
You're
just
trying to stay here.
Yeah, you're just trying to throw strikes and have success and miss bats. But that's always the interesting process for me, as the older players, when you talk to them, like, one, they're more willing to take a chance on something like that, and two, it's just because I think they have the trust of the grip of the ball, the feel of the ball, and they understand their mechanics more, how it's coming out of their hand.
That, and you know how it is, the game gets a little slower too, so you're like, okay, cool, I can get away with this right here. Yeah. Here's a good time to use it. Instead of before, it was like, I gotta go to I just gotta let it eat. I got nothing else to do, except, and there's time for that still in my game today, but they're few and far between, because letting it eat's not what it used to be. So, yeah, like you said, you know, a hitter, it's like, hey, I know this guy's going to be amped up. I'm going to take a little bit off my sinker and let him hook it foul, and I'm going to get a free strike where I don't have to worry about him putting it in play and stuff. Early on in my career, it was like, I'm throwing the ball by everybody.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who's in the box. So those are the things you learn. You learn the hitters. You learn their aggressions. You learn what they're trying to do. You know, the old, like, don't throw it in their honey hole, but it's like, you throw it a little slower in the honey hole and let them hook it foul, and then you got them right where you want them to, because they think you're going to go back in there. So that's the ins and outs of the games that makes it fun. And if you figure out how to get through the trial and error, and that somebody still wants you, then you get to pitch for a while.
So
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
speaking of still wanting you, you come back to St. Louis. So you're living not too far from the St. Louis area with your family. And so obviously you probably going in the off season knew, man, starting pitching in St. Louis is tough. I could, you know, go back there, get closer to the family. Just walk us through, you don't have to give us all the details. Walk us through that, you know, when you do get the phone call that, hey, the Cardinals are interested in coming back, and just those feelings of, you know, you won a World Series here. You know, it's a special place. It's a unique place. And to get to come back and experience it again after you've had some other experiences, what was that like?
It was awesome, to be honest with you. You know, every time a free agency period opens up, this is my third time going to free agency, so I was like, we'll see where it takes me this time. You don't really worry about it anymore. You have some ideas, you have some hopes. Phones started ringing, and Mo was one of the first people that we kind of both had a mutual, we need to talk right out of the gate. From the get-go, it was, hey, you know, there's a fit. We'll see where it goes. You know, once GM meetings and all that get done, and then it happened pretty quick after that. I was surprisingly had like 10 teams all call me within like a day or two of each other, where I had a bunch of offers on the table and had some more money in other places. And I was like, what are we doing? Mm-hmm. You know, and you talk to the family and all that. And it was like from the get go, if they gave me the number that I was looking for, it was a no brainer. And we were able to get there, and we were able to, you know, see what an option would look like. And that's where it was at. And it was kind of the easiest thing I've ever done as a free agent or anything like that. So, you know, it's, you know, say back in the day, they're like, yeah, I'm going to take as much money as I can get. you know, that went out the window pretty quick when I had a chance to come back. You didn't know what it was going to entail. You just know, hey, I got a chance to go back where I started. I got to go. A lot of people still in the stadium and in the organization that I knew and have great relationships with. So I was like, it's like going home, and I'm going to be able to go home some nights and spend some time with my family. Family doesn't have to travel all across the country to come see me and come out of school and stuff like that. So I was like, let's do it. Let's go make it the best we can. And it's where it all started. And I'd like to win another World Series here, because that's where, you know, we won one before. So I was like, what a great way to go out.
Yeah. And what is that like walking into spring training? Because, you know, just the nostalgia. I mean, I still go down there as a, you know, as a fan and, you know, kind of a media person here and there, and go down. Every time I walk in that locker, man, it's just like a
– It's the same.
It's the exact same, you know, and it's the same smell, same everything. I mean, there was a lot of – for me, you didn't have as long as I did down there in extended spring training and those long summers down there. But, I mean, it's just got to be so weird, you know, going back and seeing some of the same people. And new manager, new things in that, but it's still the same, right? I mean, they keep it very similar. They haven't come in and shook it up a ton because it's
only they had some tents out in the parking lot.
Yeah, there's definitely new tents.
Yeah. It was crazy.
But,
was,
you know,
weird.
Seeing all those same people and having those feelings walking into spring training, knowing you're back.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's like, hey, it's like you walk in, you're like, it's like an old shoe. You put it on, it feels great. Mm-hmm. We're good to go. It really was a weird feeling to be back, because you know when you leave, you don't know where this game's going to take you. You at no point ever be like, oh, I'll be back there, because mm-hmm. like it's like, well, you have to kind of, hey, that chapter's over. I got to get my mindset on being the best I can be wherever I might go next. So to go back and then reminisce of all our ex-teammates, all the like those memories, not only there in spring training, but during the seasons and all that, it was like, okay. And then you got to kind of, all right, this is why you're back though, too, because those are the things you remember and you enjoyed. And it's like, all right, it kind of was like, yeah, this is why you came back, and this is where you're supposed to be. So it was a really good feeling.
Well, they put some responsibility on you. Mm-hmm. I mean, they made it pretty clear that we're bringing them back. One, to eat up innings. We need stronger starting pitching. But we also need some guys that have been here that know how we've done things here and what to get us back to that winning culture. Mm-hmm. Last year, I mean, everybody knows it wasn't something that we're used to around here, and everybody admits that, and we're ready to move on from it. So how is that? And as you were here as the young guy learning from those guys, now you're back in that role, and talk a little bit about the young guys, because I think this young crop is about as exciting of a young crop, especially your shortstop and your center fielder and all these guys that are coming up, man, that have just tons of potential and tons of excitement that they can bring to this team and organization. And that doesn't exclude the guys in the pitching staff, but there's a couple on the position side that are just standouts right now.
Yeah, no, definitely. When you look at this young core, you're like, man. And then you look at, you know, you have your Goldies, your Arenados, mm-hmm. and your Willies with them. It's like, man, this group can be really special. And that's one thing that gave me the idea, like, this is a chance to win too. It's not just coming back and being the old guy that helps a team that's going to be 500 and they're growing for the future. Like, this team's ready to win now. So that was a big factor of coming back. But also, like you said, the times when we came up through this organization, we were taught a way to play the game and a way to compete, and the only thing that mattered was winning that game that day. Nothing else mattered. I think over the course of time and life and the way the world is now, some of those things get taken away, whether it's social media, this and that, all the, you know, the world that we have now. So they brought me back. They're like, hey, we just need you to be you. And I was like, that kind of got me sent out of here, you know? So that was kind of just a little funny with Mo, and he started laughing. I think, like, when we first came up to when we last left, it changed then, too. So it was, like, kind of getting back to, like, hey, we're here to play baseball. We're here to be good teammates. That's what we're always taught to be. And then how can we – it doesn't matter what age you are, how you're doing. It's like, how can we help everybody be the best they can be and create their personality that makes them the best they can be? We got some guys that have really good personalities in there, but they're like, I don't know how to show it, mm-hmm. right? It's like, Adam Wainwright's the best human being mm-hmm. I've ever played with in this game. And they're like, I don't know how to talk to him. I go, well, you know, when you see a guy that's that accomplished, not only in this game, but that great of a person, you feel like it's impossible to live up mm-hmm. to him. And I felt that last time I was here, and I told him, I was like, I understand what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I had the same problems when I was young. I was like, I'm supposed to be like that? That's impossible. Mm-hmm. Like, and you just don't know what to do. So I was like, but it doesn't mean you can't be the best person, you can be the best teammate you can be, and then coming along. So my main thing that I focus on is making sure that those guys know that, hey, people make mistakes, you make mistakes on the field and all that, but we're here for each other, we're going to pull for each other, and anything you need, I'm here for you. Don't hesitate to ask me, because I want to be approachable and I want to help, but I also, like, if screwing around, we're gonna fix that too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
And that makes it easier to go to them when they do mess up, because you have that relationship, and that's what I'm trying to build.
And we had that structure. I mean, mm-hmm. it was clear cut. I you know, Chris Carpenter, when he vacated that locker room, it created a massive mm-hmm. void. And nobody can replace that.
Nope.
There's nobody that can replace his presence. We've talked about it, a lot of people, but the game has changed. I don't know if the Chris Carpenter mentality would work in today's game of having him in there. Everybody's scared to death of him. And
that would definitely be interesting.
You know, but you had in our locker room, you had the good cop, bad cop. You had, mm-hmm. you know, Carp, who you couldn't even look at him on his start day. And then you had Waino, who's hugging everybody, yep. you know,
and Westy,
and then you got Westbrook and Loesch, yep. who are just cracking jokes mm-hmm. and keeping it light. But they would, you cross that line and you would know it pretty quickly.
Everyone would put you where you need to be. And that's what you look at Sonny, myself, Kyle, and Miles and Matt's, like, that's the kind of the group they've put back together yeah. here. And that's good for the whole group.
Yeah.
It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits. Make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
I explain this to people. Sport is, you know, something I think people benefit from. You know, whether you're playing little league, you get to high school, college, professionally, whatever. Like those skills and those lessons you learn there, you can take everywhere. And I say, man, the hardest thing from a manager standpoint is getting 25, 26 guys pulling all in the same direction, right? So many different personalities, different everything. But really what it comes down to is, like, everybody doing their own thing to make sure they do it in a way that fits the team. And at 7 o'clock, you just got to make sure that you can help us win.
Right.
And if you can help us win, whatever you did at 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock, you know, like
last night,
or last night, like that's nobody cares about that. But at 7 o'clock, you got to help us win,
yeah,
you know,
and show up.
And we've had Brendan Ryan. We talked with him in here. Like, Brendan Ryan was a classic example, and not saying this behind his back. We talked about him when he was here, but he, you know, came up and hit 300 and he was a spark. And then when he was hitting 170 and acting the same way, it became a distraction, you know. And it's just funny how that happens. But at 7 o'clock, he could help you go out and win a ball game, mm-hmm. you know. And so that's just that locker room dynamic you hear a lot about. I think it's overplayed sometimes mm-hmm. By people that don't really know, but the people that do understand, it is a huge deal. It will win you. Clubhouse chemistry will win you 5 to 7 games a year,
especially
if you got everybody.
162,
but
goodness.
It could definitely lose you about 40 a game if it's going the wrong direction.
Quick, it get ugly real
yeah,
quick.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
All right, so explain to everybody what's up with the yelling stuff. I know that's going to be the number one thing. You're out there yelling at everybody, yelling at yourself.
You're a pretty nice guy. You got to get yourself going somehow. I'm old, man. So yeah. I think over the course of my career, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, they started talking about let the kids play, right? Bat flip, do all that. Yeah. So it's like, you want a bat flip, you can do whatever you want. I'm not going to yell at you. Remember when we first come up, it was like, are you yelling at guys? Uh-huh. Big Carp wanted to hit everybody whenever they didn't sprint out of the box on mm-hmm. a homer. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, you hit a homer off me, do whatever you want. If I strike you out, I'm going to do whatever I want. That's where I'm at. So, but to be honest, a lot of it is to mostly to myself. You play for long enough, you got to find different things that get you going and all that, just because it gets kind of, I don't know, it just, you gotta find something that triggers you and all that. And then I've learned over the course of this, my career and all that, like you said, like the Brendan Ryan thing, right? It's a good act if you're pitching well or mm-hmm. hitting well, right? And it's a tired act either way. So, but I have learned that, like, with the position players and stuff like that, when they see you care and they see you want to dominate, mm-hmm. they play harder behind you. I'm only going to play hard because he cares. It's just like there's a different excitement because it gets long. Seasons mm-hmm. get long and stuff like that. Every starter brings a different feel to each game, and the feel that I bring is, too, it's like, hey, I've been sitting here for 4 days. I'm going to let it all out.
Yeah.
Because if I don't, I look at myself in the mirror and I was like, you don't even know when your last one's going to be now.
Yep.
And that's kind of my thought. It's like, I've had 4 days of pin up, like, I'm ready to go after it. I'm going to let it all hang out. And then after the game, I'm done. And then I'm going to build it back up for the next four. And if I see myself after the game and know I didn't let it out, it's like, it's one of those things nowadays where it's like, you don't know how many you have left. So mm-hmm. it's letting it all hang out every game now.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about your young guys behind you. What you saw in spring training, maybe guys that aren't even here, but, you know, coming into the organization as an outsider, now coming in and kind of seeing what's here, what's in the future. How do you assess some of the young talent that's here? I know we briefly talked about it, but a little bit more in depth.
Man, it's exciting. You look at kind of Vic in spring training with the steals and stuff last year. You know, I obviously didn't know much about him, but you see what he can bring dynamically, defensively and on the bases. You see the same thing with Mason at shortstop. This group is talented. They're hungry. They've got some swag to them. They want to be good, and they're not taking things for granted. I think that's the main thing when you come up nowadays is, like, a lot of kids come up and say, oh, I've made it. I've arrived, or I've done what I'm supposed to do. It's like, no, you got a chance to do what you're capable of and all that. And these guys see it. It's like, this is my chance to be a big leaguer and be good, and they want to win, and they want to be successful, not only for themselves but for their teammates. And they're not selfish kids. When you're selfish and it's all about you, you know, as teammates, that gets rough throughout the year. But it's teaching these kids, hey, it's okay to be selfish in the sense that I want to be good. And if I'm good and I figure out how I'm good and I can carry myself every day and then incorporate that in the team atmosphere, then our team's going to be great. And that's what we're trying to build. And it's been good.
Well, and you have these young guys now, they not only get here, they're not fully developed. I mean, and there's a couple examples of that, but they got to learn. You know, it used to be you'd get here and you were pretty much ready to plug in and come out and be your deal.
Tony said you had to start so many games in AAA and Indians and this and that, and then he still told you you weren't ready.
Right. But, I mean, these guys come up now and they're still trying to develop, which is so hard. I don't think people understand how hard that is to develop a new pitch or work on a location or do this or do that. And these guys at this young age, I mean, they're getting here at 20, 21 years old, and they're, you know, that's what they're being asked to do.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And you look at Gort second, he's 24, and he's like, yeah. You don't see him as a young guy. Right. But he, like, that was when we came up. Back when I was up, I was up at 24, and I was like, man, you got up early. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, hey, if you're not up by 21, you might want to go find another job. Yeah. It's like, no, that's not how it works, guys. Yeah. But that's the truth. And then, but these guys got a great head on their shoulders, and they want to win. Even everybody that's, you know, pretty much underneath Arenado, right?
Yeah.
That's everybody's like, it goes from him down, and that's kind of the, and Willie. So it's like, from view, look at them, like, man, the work that they put in and the mindset they have, the desire to be good and, like, be good dudes, like, that we've got a really good spot here. If we just pitch, we'll let the guys get rolling here, we're going
to
be all right.
Well, I tell you what, I had Mason Wynn on my caravan, and, you know, you get to know the guys a little bit in that, and I came off of there, I was like, I am a huge fan of that guy. He was – what he was – just how composed he was, and just his – like you said, his head and understanding, I think – how good he potentially could be and the opportunity he has in front of him. It was really impressive just spending a couple days with him.
And he's got fire. You see it on the field. He wants to.
He's exciting. He's one of the more exciting young players, position players we've had here in a long time. So, well, Lance, we're going to let you go. I know you got to get out there and get on the field and get all your analytics stuff done. And
get ready for tomorrow.
Yeah, you got to get on the treadmill, get your running in and all that kind of stuff. But, man, I appreciate you. It's great to see you back. Great to see you still out there doing it your way, doing it at a high level. And I'm excited for your presence around these guys and everything you bring to that. So good to see you. Good to catch back up. You can catch all of our previous podcast anywhere you get your podcast. We have about 2 years now full of episodes, so go back, check them out, and get caught up on them. But Lance, thanks again, man, and we will talk to you down the road.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.